You gotta understand it. Look, sometimes you gotta just go there. You gotta just go there. Unselfish Behavior Podcast. Now, this is a very special episode. You understand what I'm saying? Be visuals. I might gotta take my jacket off. I might gotta calm down. Why? Because two things is going on right now. First and foremost, it's a special edition. Why? Because you here. And second of all, y'all see the aesthetics. It's December, and it's going to be damn sure a December to remember. Y'all got to understand what we're doing. The Unselfish Behavior Podcast, we are here. We are here. We are here with the one, the only. She goes by the name of Jazz in the building, a.k.a. Brown Rich, man. Listen, you got to understand, we got my sister in the building.
Hey,
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much.
Come on, man. It's an honor and a privilege. And you know, in the Unselfish Behavior Podcast, we always like to start off by saying, this is a guest-based podcast to where we look to have guests on here from the city of LA. Mm-hmm. Why? Because that's the best damn city in the world. If y'all didn't know, then now you know. You got to understand it. I ain't speaking Spanish. You got to understand what I'm saying. Look. So look, we always like to allow our guests to draw inspiration and empowerment and motivation through the stories of those ones that's actually making moves in the city. And you are by far more than qualified.
Come on,
to represent the city of LA. So I'm super excited to have you, Jazz. What's been going on with you? You know, what's going on? How you feel?
You know what? I'm real lit right now. Yeah, yeah. I'm real excited. Like all day, I just been like having the jitters.
I'm
ready. Like I'm ready to talk. You know, I could talk anybody ear off. Yeah. And I'm super excited.
Well, listen, I've been known to talk a few ears off. The visuals, you gotta understand. That's what I do. You know, so I'm super excited because I know that you are a conversationalist, but beyond that, you have such a broad perspective. You are an advocate for us.
Mm-hmm.
And if y'all don't know who we are Black. We are culture. You got to understand it. So we're going to talk about that. We got a true representative here. You know, women's empowerment. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you're into dance. You just got back from tour.
Mm-hmm.
But before I start asking questions, I want to allow you the platform to be able to let the ones who don't know you, not familiar with who you are, let them know who you are, a little bit about what you do and what you stand for.
Well, my name is Jocelyn, a.k.a. Brown Rich. Okay, but Jocelyn froze my name.
Yeah.
I'm from Carson, Compton, Long Beach. I say that because I went to school in Carson. I went to school in Long Beach as well, lived there. And then Carson, Compton. And I'm a professional dancer. And I have danced all over the world, danced with a lot of people. I love it. It's cool, but I have my hand in a lot of different things. I'm a preschool teacher. I love kids. I love the fact that they are our future. And I feel like we got to put on for them. You know what I mean? Got to be there for them. And like I'm ready. I'm lit. I just love to talk. I love to learn. I love to educate. So I'm here to do it.
I'm so excited. We're here.
Yeah.
Now we're going to jump right into it right now. You passionate about the kids. Your main man, King Q, is very passionate about the kids. We're going to jump right into that for the first topic. I work with kids. I've been working with kids now for a few years, I would say. About three, 4 years. I've been working very directly with kids in the inner city in particular. One thing that I noticed is that the need for representation for the children in our communities. I understand that my job, and I'm sure you feel the same way, my job and my obligation in regards to having a gift that is powerful and that can touch people's lives, a huge part of that gift and that mission is to make sure that I'm giving to the kids, giving them game, giving them tools that I wish somebody would have gave me growing up in the hood my whole life. Why are you passionate about the kids and how do you think you can most effectively give to them?
So I feel like it was a process. So like it started off with me just like loving kids. And then so I was like, okay, obviously whatever I go to college for is going to be like kid based.
Yeah.
So then I go for child development. I start learning about like all the things that kind of like come with it. And like that it's like about parents and like the environment that they're in. And then you start looking into, it's just way deeper than people, you know, imagine than it just being like, oh, I just need like a little job working with kids or whatever. So then once I got there, I worked in Englewood at Children Enrichment Center. I love it so much. Shout out to Miss Gloria.
Hey, Miss Gloria, you out there? Stop playing with you.
And I worked there for 5 years.
Nice.
And side note, they were like allowing me to like tour every year and like do all my jobs and everything. And parents knew, kids knew, like it was really dope. But I started working for them and I started to see like how important it was to be like a Black teacher with like Black kids and even have kids of like other races and ethnicities there. It was dope. So then I started to go back and talk to kids at like Poly. Yeah. That's where I went, Long Beach Poly.
Yep.
And when I was talking to them, I realized that the things that I didn't have when I was in high school, like I didn't come from like anything like too rough or like, you know, it was like, oh, I didn't know how I was going to eat. Like I didn't come from that type of background. But college was something new and it was something that like my household didn't really know about. And so I had teachers and stuff that were like, they were helping me, like staying with me after school and like everything like that.
Yeah.
And so then I realized that I had to do the same thing. And I didn't realize how important it was to be Black and to be like tatted and like to have short hair and piercings and just like being your own person.
Yeah.
But still able to get a message across to these kids.
Yeah.
So I started to go talk to them. And then I realized like when they would talk to me about like, oh, I want to be a rapper, right? Or I want to be like an NFL player or whatever. Yeah. I'd be like, okay, that's cool, but I'm gonna challenge you. If you feel the need to go to college still, because I don't push anybody nor force anybody to go to college. If you feel the need to go to college, do something that has to do with your profession that you want to do. If you're going to be a rapper, go to school for business or for like engineering or something. If you want to be an NFL player, NBA player, go for business so you could buy that goddamn team. Like, it's not a, you know what I mean? Like, it's a little bit deeper than just like, I just want to instill in them that you can do more than just that. And that's more than enough.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's still good.
Yeah.
But I just feel like you need to have a more of an open mind with it.
Yeah.
Simply because we have more working against us.
Right.
And so I just feel like for me, I just needed to be involved like as much as I can. And I still feel the burn and the desire to do it now.
Yeah.
I feel like I haven't been doing as much as I could or that I can because of the fact that I'm still in the industry.
Yep.
So I go when I can. Like I did my a career day for the first time.
Nice.
And that was one of the most rewarding, like dope days of my life.
Nice.
And the school sent me letters that all the kids wrote.
Mm.
And they were like, I didn't even know I could be a professional dancer. Now I want to be one like you. And I was just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
But it was really dope.
Yeah.
So I just realized like the influence that I have. And I also realized that people are a little bit more drawn when they feel like they can relate.
There
I'm not going to walk in there with with like a suit or nothing on because for one, that's not me.
Yep.
And two, if I'm walking into an inner city school, I need them to understand that I'm not faking to work with you. I really know, you know what I'm saying? I really understand. I really know the struggle that you're going to deal with being a Black individual here and like all these things. So like, I want you to know that you can talk to me and I want to give you the game that nobody, like you said, gave to me.
There we go.
So yeah, just like making sure that like they know what like EOP and like how you can get money for college and like all this stuff. Like there's so many things.
Yeah.
So many things. So it's
so important.
Yeah, just trying to get my hand in the community. And I feel like what I want to do is just kind of like push into like deeper inner city.
Yeah.
So I feel like Compton High is going to be a little tricky because of all the renovations and stuff going on.
Yep.
So I'm going to just try to go somewhere around there until they like get it together and it's not so much of like a in the radio and, you know, kind of thing, because then I don't want them to get lost in that.
Right.
So, I don't know. I just, that's what I want to do, you know, a little bit more of, but so far I've just been kind of like giving back, being a teacher, just realizing how important it is.
Love it. While you're talking, I'm thinking about my childhood and I'm thinking about what I see and what I witness at these schools that I work at. Now I was working at a school called Resolute Academy in Watts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also currently working at a school called Kelso Elementary in Englewood.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked at ISIV Middle School in Englewood as well. Working in these inner cities, I find a reoccurring issue that I'm constantly talking to these kids about. And that's downgrading each other verbally according to their color of their skin, their hair, your teeth, your clothes, your this, you ugly, you this, you that. And it seems like, for me, that this is happening at home. Like because for me, I'm breaking up fights with second graders.
Wow.
That's like today I had 6 second grade girls, second graders that are talking about each other, about how they look and shoes and this and that. And so now I got to go in the middle and play referee with some second grade little girls that are bashing each other verbally about how each other looks.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so for me, I want to talk to you a little bit about what were those experiences for you as a young Black girl in regards to self-love? Mm-hmm. How did you grow up? Or did you even grow up valuing the natural elements of you, your skin color, your lips, your nose, your eyes, your hair?
Mm-hmm.
How can you like how can we overcome that? And how did you experience that yourself? What is your experience in that growing up as a kid?
I was bullied when I was a kid, like verbally.
Yeah.
The dark skin, you know, the ugly.
Yeah.
This. I'm going to tell you what saved me was I was goofy.
There we go.
And I got along with everybody. Gotcha. So that was always like a savior. Like, you know, like I would always be with the cool kids because I was like, yo, you're funny, but you're ugly.
That's gotcha. Wow. They did you like that?
And I had people who was like, who had my back, but that's literally like what it was like.
Gotcha.
But because of that, in my household, like I had like my aunts and stuff kind of being like, you know, girl, you're beautiful black skin.
Right.
But it didn't matter because peers are much like peers. What they say matters way more than like what my mom or my auntie gonna say.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So if I'm going to school and they're telling me that I'm ugly, you're telling me that I'm pretty, then I think you're like,
right. There we go.
All the kids at school, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's real,
like,
that's real.
So for me, it wasn't a thing that like broke me down in the sense of like, I didn't want to go to school or like I was going home crying. Like I wasn't a kid like that. Like I was just kind of like, yeah, they talking about me, but like, you know, I just don't want to be friends with them. Like that's just kind of how it felt. But I didn't see the value. And it was like, it was a weird like in between because it was like, I didn't see the value, but then I wasn't like broken down.
Gotcha.
So there was just like a weird like limbo that I was just in, like going to school every day and just like doing what I had to do and still having fun. But I wasn't even thinking about like beauty, like in a sense of like, oh, like my skin's beautiful. Like I wasn't doing that. And although my mom, something that I think a lot of like older black parents kind of deal with was believing that I was being bullied, but being like, girl, you're beautiful.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, girl, you know you're beautiful. Like, they don't mean that. You're like, yo, but like my feelings are a little hurt by it. So I need something more than, girl, you know you're beautiful, because I don't.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't.
Gotcha.
And so I think that it's and it was nothing that I feel like parents were doing wrong or right. It's just what they felt. Like, I know my baby's beautiful, but it's like if I'm feeling like I'm not, then there's more words that have to be said to a child. This is a bigger conversation that has to be had that you have to sit down and discuss.
Right.
And I talked to mom about it, you know, now that I'm older, but getting through it, it was more so of like a switch of opinion.
Yeah.
So like once I got to high school, people thought I was pretty.
Wow.
And then it still didn't change anything because I never wanted to like change who I was. So it was like, oh, cool. Yeah, I think I'm pretty. I'm still going to be. I never changed who I was.
Gotcha.
Like I was always just like this goofy, whatever, active kind of girl. Like I said, I was like in a limbo. So when I got to high school, people were like, oh, you're pretty. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. That's tight.
Right.
You know,
right,
so I don't have to get bullied no more.
Gotcha. All right,
cool. So now on to the next, you know?
Gotcha.
And so what it did for me was it helped me to be in the middle of every kind of person.
There we go.
And that's what I love so much even now. And at Poly, there's 10 million different type of people. There's like 5,000 kids at that school.
Wow.
And there's, you know, every type of kids you could think of. And I could walk around that campus and be like, hey, to like everybody.
Gotcha,
you know what
I mean?
And that was always like my favorite because I'm just going to get along with everybody. And I understand what it feels like to be the person being stepped on.
Gotcha.
And now that you have put me in a position to be up, immediately I took a leadership role in that. And I was like, okay, cool. Well, I just want to be friends with everybody who nobody wants to be friends with.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? Like, so that was kind of how I changed that narrative. But it was there was a lingering kind of like effect of like, oh, I don't feel pretty, you know, like I had those moments, but it just didn't, I wasn't the person to just let it sit.
Yeah.
Like I've never been that person to just kind of sit in the
fall
mirror,
into
like,
depression because somebody called you ugly.
Like it would be like, you know, thoughts in the back of my head. Like when I would be with my friends, I was like, okay, I'm probably the ugly one, but whatever, you know, we're still gonna have fun. And like, that's kind of how I felt.
Right.
And you know, even now you have your moments where you're just like, but I don't care. I'd be like, whatever.
I can't stand it. I hate the light skin, dark skin shit.
Oh,
especially with our sisters.
Because
I feel like we are all a representation of one family.
Yeah.
Right. And so I'm really, really big on treating each other as such.
Yeah.
And I think that for me, I always tell people, be the change that you want to see in the world. Anybody who knows me, I speak to all of my brothers and sisters. I speak to everybody else.
Yeah.
But I make a huge emphasis on making sure that if I see a sister walk by me, or if I see a brother walk by me, especially because we have barriers as black men and mean mugging each other or feeling like we have to be on the defense by simply walking past each other or standing behind each other in line. So I feel like it's my obligation to be the change that I want to see and to be that model. But I see it way too often in touching on these kids, like damn, not like that. But
yeah.
Touching on the conversation of these kids, you know what I'm saying? I'm seeing too much of it.
Yeah.
I'm seeing too much of it because it's starting to feel as though they're going to grow up in a world to where that behavior and that language is normalized.
Becomes normal.
Right? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so it's okay. Or boys are supposed to call me this, or boys are supposed to. So right, like today, I've had to break up a fight. These are kids, Jazz. Hear what I'm saying? I work at an elementary school.
Yeah, so
I'm breaking up fights with second, third, fourth graders over here. Yeah. Like boys literally hitting girls with a closed fist in the face. Do you know what that do to you, boy, with a 9-year-old daughter at home? And I have to tell these little boys, bro, I almost just snatched you up, dog.
Yeah.
That is a third grade little girl.
Yeah.
I have a daughter in the third grade.
Yeah,
bro, y'all are over here, like, literally, like, going up to girls, slapping them, calling them the B word, calling them hoes, this and that.
And to me,
it's crazy.
That has to be coming, like you said, from home.
Yeah.
And something that subconsciously happens.
Yeah.
To kind of go back a little bit on the image part of it, parents have a problem, and just everybody, with saying physical things, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you're so chubby. Look at those chubby cheeks. Look at those chocolate skin.
I see what's going on.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they have a really bad habit of that. And when you're young, you don't realize it. And it wasn't until I got older that I was like, no, you got to stop saying physical first.
There we go.
We have to stop approaching people, well, not people, kids, and saying things about their physical. Like, sometimes I used to talk to some of my kids, and they're like, I'm too heavy to be lifted up now, and you can't lift me. I'm like, how do you know that at four?
Who told you?
Who's saying that to you, that you're too heavy to be held? Or, like, you know what I mean? Like, you're drawing subconsciously. I know you're not trying to hurt your kid. I mean, I know those parents who probably are.
Yeah, that's right.
But I know you're not trying to hurt your kid, but saying things, even approaching them about skin color first, you know what I mean? Like, such a pretty chocolate girl. People still tell me that to this day. Since I was a kid, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I don't look at it and be like, oh my God, how dare you? But I'm like, yo, if I was anybody else who had any type of a different spirit, then that could, like, that would just keep playing in my mind. Like, all I know is that I'm chocolate.
Yeah.
That's all I know.
And my value only lies there.
And that, the fact that I'm chocolate. So if I'm four, if I'm five, all I can think about is the fact that I'm chocolate. If I'm light skinned and then I'm seeing a dark skinned girl and all I'm seeing is my auntie or my whatever calling them chocolate, that's all I'm going to know as a light skinned girl to go to school and be like, yeah, you dark skinned.
Got you.
You shouldn't even know about, you know what I mean? Like, that's the type of stuff that kind of, like, I mean, you can know. Like, I want my kids to know that they're brown or whatever the case is, but you're not going to sit here and, you know, base everything off of a physical feature. There's so many things to worry about, you know, and to
that's
think
deep.
About, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I think that that's something that has to stop.
Yeah.
Like, and so, I mean, and it's not like the worst thing. Like, if a kid got chubby cheeks, it's cute. Okay, whatever.
Right.
My niece has chubby cheeks, I love, you know,
but I
try not to say things that are, like, so physical. Like,
because
it's deeper than that. Like, oh, you're so funny. You know what I mean? You make me laugh. You make
you
auntie
the
laugh.
You're the smartest little girl I've ever met in my life. You're so intelligent.
Exactly.
Wow, you're so wise.
Exactly.
Wow, you have a great humor.
You have a great humor.
Wow.
And so then when she goes to school, she's saying stuff like, I have a great humor.
Her value lies
like,
from the inside.
I'm smart.
There we go. There we go.
You know what I mean?
Wow, so that says a lot. With you being in the industry, I'm going to shift gears a little bit. Still centered around the same topic of color, because I think it's important. And I love talking to somebody who's transparent about it and who has experience in it on both spectrums. So for me, I think about you and I think, okay, Jasmine's doing a lot. Obviously, she's in the industry. People have a certain perception in this generation, especially with social media and everything, with judging people based off what's posted or what's shown. We have a habit of praising people's accomplishments while knowing nothing about the struggles and failures behind closed doors.
Yeah.
Talk to me about some of the barriers, some of the things that you've had to deal with behind closed doors in the industry on the topic of colorism.
Ooh.
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Is that something that's serious?
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
So colorism in the industry is also, I feel like it's a very fine line between preference and colorism, right? So if you're working for a rapper and a rapper is like, I only rock with like light skin, curly hair, that's ultimately what he's going to hire.
Yeah.
And what happens is we get caught into these auditions and or direct bookings, whatever the case is. And then they're being like, oh, absolutely not. Like, and then my time is wasted because that's not like, you know, you didn't want no dark skin in the first place or whatever the case is.
Why was I even here?
Yeah. You know what I mean? So you deal with that, like, with rappers and stuff, and then you deal with it on a more positive note, and not even just rappers. I'm saying, like, it's everybody, you know, even women. Like, women have that problem with being like, oh, I want a group of bad bitches behind me, and I want to be light-skinned, or dark-skinned, you know what I mean? And something I've learned is to kind of look from both ends of the spectrum.
Yeah.
So for so long, of course, like, I'm dark-skinned, so I'm dealing with all the problems of being dark-skinned. Like, I'm getting caught this, I'm this, I'm this, I'm this. But then I'm looking at a perspective of, like, I would be lying if I said that I wasn't booking for being dark-skinned.
Got you.
Most conversations that I have with people, if an artist, like, calls me to talk about, like, their project, like, before I do the video, it's like, yeah, I didn't want, like, you know, the basic, like, mixed girl or, like, whatever. Like, I wanted a dark-skinned girl. I wanted a girl with short hair. Like, you got tattoos, you pro-black. Like, yeah, I want you in my video. Like, it's legitimately, like, it's that. Like, that's the focus, is the fact that you're not light skin, or you're not mixed, or you're not black. Like, it's literally centered around the fact that I am dark skinned and I'm pro black and I got short hair, and, like, it's just like, boom. You know what I mean? Like, this is the vision that I wanted, because I wanted a dark skinned girl.
Gotcha.
So, and then also in auditions, you're being split up by color and by ethnicity.
Okay.
So when we're in these auditions, they're going, can I have my white girls over here? Can I have my Mexican girls over here? Can I have my Asians over here? Can I have my blondes over here? Can I have my black girls? And can I have my mixed girls? Like,
come on.
It's legitimately, you know, split up. And then you would ultimately audition in groups or whatever the case is. And then they're like, oh, can I put these girls together? Let me get Jasmine. Let me get, like, this light-skinned girl. Let me get this white girl. Let me get this Asian girl. Put them in a group. See what they look like. Let me get two black girls right here. Like, everything is literally based off of look and color. And it's not so much of you can't book because you're not a certain look. It's just for certain people, you're not going to book because that's not what they want. That's not their preference.
Gotcha.
So if I'm looking at, then of course it's like things like height and stuff, you know, you're dealing with, like,
yeah, of course.
If Sierra is like 5'10", she ain't trying to have, like, you know, really, like, no 5-foot dancer, because that's going to make her look 6'7".
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? Gotcha. If Lizzo has bigger dancers with her, not really like big, but like thick girls, or like she has tall girls with her. So that lets you know that she had, there's a market for everybody.
Gotcha.
But it's just the fact that when it's not your market, you kind of have to be like played in a sense. Like, not played, but like, you have to be like, we don't want you. Like, discarded. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's kind of cool because of the fact that there's an alley for everybody.
Okay.
And everything is based off of your look. But you are, for sure. Like, I've been in auditions where I'm there and then, like, the manager might come and be like, oh, no, she out.
Immediately.
It's like, oh, no. Like, we didn't went through a whole audition. And then the manager comes. Manager knows what their artist likes. And then the manager's like, oh, no. Take the dark note out. And
that's
then,
crazy.
Yeah, and then you look at, you know, she's not saying it out loud, but then you look at, like, who booked the job, right? And then you're
all
like,
y'all motherfuckers look the same. Somebody want to explain something to me up in here.
All y'all look the same. Wow. And sometimes it's, like, hair-based. You know, sometimes it's like, oh, well, we wanted the girls to have ponytails. So, Jocelyn, you're out because, you know, we don't want to pay for somebody to have a wig on.
Gotcha.
We got another dark-skinned girl right here who has hair.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? So it's also like stuff like that. But
do you ever feel like you take some of those shots personally? Well, I know they're not shots to some people, but I mean, look, do you ever feel anything off of these adjustments that either managers or artists or preferences that they may have? Mm-hmm. Do you ever feel like, damn, like, why not me?
Not so much why not me, but more so like, I almost be like, damn, and leave it at that.
Just damn.
Like, all right.
Stand up here like,
you know,
that, huh?
Yeah, like, that's the thing. If for real, though, like, it's kind of like, because the thing is, I understand the industry.
Got you.
So
you can't take it personal when you
can't take it personal. And I have been affected by it.
Yep.
Like, there's been one time that I shed tears about it when I saw the picture. And I was like, damn, like, you just really didn't want color.
Got you.
But also, there was like 25% of me that was just like, but why can I can't be mad at you for what you like.
That's your preference.
Gotcha. I can't be mad at you for that. Like,
gotcha.
Honestly, you know what I mean? Like,
gotcha.
Because if you got all dark-skinned girls, then
they don't feel like that. Light-skinned girls don't feel like that. What y'all doing? Gotcha.
So
that's just interesting.
Yeah, that, it's kind of just like, just,
it seems like an ongoing fight, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like, in hearing you speak, it sounds like an industry to where you're constantly going through waves. Right.
Oh, my God. That's the best thing ever.
Talk to me about the waves,
uh-huh.
whether it's coming from an emotional standpoint, whether there's people who meet you or experience you, mm-hmm. and you may be operating in your normal state, but they take it as either aggression, mm-hmm. or they take it as either, whoa, look at that. Mm-hmm. I've personally experienced that mm-hmm. before. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about those experiences, whether, you know, it's been on tour, whether it's been, you know, wherever. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Talk to me a little bit about those experiences and how have you, what type of things do you do to overcome mm-hmm. those obstacles? I want to talk about that as well, mm-hmm. the overcoming aspect of it.
Okay. So you're for sure going through waves constantly.
Yeah.
Right? So many no's. Yeah. So many no's. And then the no's are like whatever. Like we learn to go into auditions to say it's like a big class, right? Gotcha. I'm just taking a big class and gotcha. If I book it, then great. If gotcha. I don't, whatever. Gotcha. Like gotcha. But you hear so many no's. Yep. And at a certain point, like, you know, it sucks. And I feel like everybody has their moments where they go through like the no phase. Gotcha. Like you are hearing no back to back to back.
Yeah.
Like, and these are like big people. Like, gotcha. I just had a conversation. One of my friends is a director, really big director. And he was like, yo, like, I'd got like four like music videos shut in my face. Like, no, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. After I just did big videos, like yeah. big ones, you know? Yeah. And he was like, I don't know. Like, I just feel like I'm like at a standstill right now. And yeah. it's making me a little like, you know? And I'm like, yeah, because you go through so many no's, but then the yeses are so extreme.
Rewarding.
Like, they're rewarding. Gotcha. Like when you get one yes,
yeah.
it's for something that's huge.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like hearing no's and then like, I booked Sherman Showcase, the TV show I did. Like, that was a whole TV show. Like,
I
that
saw one my year. Sister on the goddamn billboard of La Cienega in Venice. I said, what the fuck is going on out here, man? Come on now. Jazzling out here like that.
Yo.
I saw it. What was it called again?
Sherman Showcase.
Sherman Showcase.
Sherman Showcase.
I saw it. Yeah.
But, you know, like, getting that yes, right? Like, yeah. that's huge.
Yeah.
And that's from hearing no's. Like, gotcha. Hearing no's are just... being called to be put on hold for something and then releasing the hold. Like, that's another thing that dancers gotcha. Do, which is another up and down. Like, okay, like, we're got you on hold for Pharrell. And you're like, oh, cool, cool, cool. I'm so excited. And then they're like, oh, it's okay. Sorry, the hold's been released. You're like, great. You
that's know? Another, damn.
Damn, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't even get mad. You're yeah, just like, damn. All right, well, cool. All right, we're just going to wait for the next one. You know what I mean? Like,
that's weird.
And it's kind of just like what it is. So, yeah, you are going through waves, like, constantly. But something that's very important, which I'm glad you like kind of brought up, was knowing. So me getting into the industry altogether was something that was not planned. It was something that was not like,
okay,
all my life I want to be a dancer. Gotcha. Like I did not have that life. I still don't have that kind of life, right? Gotcha. Like I'm still just kind of like, okay, whatever's next is next, you know?
Gotcha.
So hearing the no's and seeing the people, like seeing people react to their no's or to their yeses.
Got you.
Got people out here being trash. Mm. You know what I mean? Like not knowing how to have emotional regulation and celebrating and in celebrating like loss. You know yep. what I mean? Like yep. not understanding that a no is not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah.
Because it just leaves room for growth or for something better.
Yep.
And understanding a yes does not mean that that is your ticket to be comfortable. That's not your ticket to be... cocky. That is not your ticket.
Yeah.
That is not your ticket to, you know, treat others like mm-hmm. you ain't never been there before. Mm-hmm. That is not your ticket to do that. Mm-hmm. And to me, I just kind of came up with this concept and had wrote it in my notes, but didn't elaborate on it. Being comfortable, being cocky is a form of comfortability. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So you being cocky means
you feel
that
like you made it.
You feel like you made it and you feel like you've hit your glass ceiling. Yeah. You're trash for that.
Yeah.
There's no reason to yeah. be cocky. Mm-hmm. You need to be willing and be open to keep pushing forward and helping others get there
that's
with
right.
you. It's
that's
not,
right.
this platform is not yours.
Yep.
And this platform is not, like, you didn't create this.
That's right.
You know what
that's
I mean?
Right.
And whatever you believe in, God, mm. the universe, whatever the case is,
yep.
it created it for you.
Absolutely.
And allowed you to be on a higher platform
there we go.
Than most people.
There we
because
go.
As artists, we are not the majority.
Mm.
We're the minority. It's right. not that many
that's
of
real.
Us in the world.
That's real.
You know what I mean? And we forget that sometimes.
Yeah.
So... knowing that my whole mindset and working with kids and stuff was like, okay, well, like, how do I help other people? Like, how do I help other people get to where I am? If somebody hits me in my DMs and asks me a question, how do I become a dancer? I'm like, yo, here.
This is how you do it.
Here the keys.
Yep. Here they go.
You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, like, our journeys ain't the same. So
that's
there's
real.
Nothing I got to be worried about with you.
Facts.
But you run into people who have those that mentality of just like, we can't be here at the same time. Because if we're here at the same time, you might outshine me. You might, you know what I mean? And it's just like, yo, I ain't even thinking about that shit. I'm like, what time is lunch?
That
like,
part,
you know what I mean?
Part.
Like,
come on, man.
I'm on some whole come other shit. Yeah, like, yeah, I'm not trying to be in this space with you. Like,
do you experience a lot of that?
All the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And most times it's like passive aggressive. Mm. It's like, oh, hey, girl. And they're like, hey. It's like the mom on Friday. Like, I'm gonna call you, girl. Okay. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's that. Exactly. Like,
goddamn Brown Rich over here. Y'all see that motherfucker?
And the thing is, even think that anybody was even thinking like that, because that's not where my first thought goes. Mm. But when I see interactions, I'm like, I know goddamn well you ain't sitting here looking at me like you afraid that I'm like a threat or some
come
shit.
Come on.
You already know that's not what I stand for.
Yeah.
Now, if that's just something that you got to deal with on your own,
yeah,
you got to deal with that on your own.
That's real.
But when I come and give you a hug and when I say what's up, like, I really mean that shit. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So yes, you deal with that all the time. Mm. I mean, it's people that you know who don't want to see you in the same room as them because they were there first.
Got you.
Wow. I don't know what to tell you.
Real.
Like,
real.
We just here
yeah,
now.
Yeah, you gotta deal with that on your own.
We here
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
that's real.
I don't know what to tell you.
That's
you
real.
Know what I mean? So those are things that I never like wasn't even thinking about until you made it awkward.
Yeah, yeah.
And now I'm like, oh wow, is this a thing?
Yeah.
Do you feel some type of way when I walk in the room? Do you feel threatened?
Right. And you could feel it.
You could feel it.
Nah,
you feel it. I could feel it. Yeah.
Shit.
You know
Hell
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And I mean, at the end of the day, I think like once you kind of understand things too, like we all make mistakes. Like I've been in auditions that I booked that I forgot the whole goddamn dance.
Mm. Y'all blow my mind too, these dancers, man. I'll be looking at y'all whole
we
ass court. Y'all can feel like, how the hell did y'all just learn that so damn fast?
We
so,
blow our own mind.
It's funny, Jazz, because my daughter is really, really big into dance, right? And
shout out
my daughter, Delilah. You gotta understand it. You know, she got royalty in her blood.
Period.
You gotta understand it. But what I'm saying is this. I took her to a dance class.
Uh-huh.
2 weeks ago, and she was late. We was like 30 minutes late.
Dang.
Right? She the only black girl in her dance class, right?
Y'all can't be
so
right. No black
we was like, you know, it's 5 o'clock traffic. Nigga was, you know what I'm saying? Nigga probably was at Jack in the Box or something, fucking around, and got caught up in traffic. So what I'm saying is this. So we get there 30 minutes late.
Mm-hmm.
There's 30 minutes left in the thing, right? Mm-hmm. But she goes in, and she learns the choreography like that. And I'm sitting back with the other parents and these Hispanic women are asking me, well, how does she learn that? I have no idea how she just learned that. So
got royalty inside my dick. That's why.
That's why. I'm fucking around. Be visuals. We here right now. You got to understand it. But it blows my mind. And I see you. I see you move and I see you shifting. This question is so pivotal. And they know when I say pivotal, it means it's
it
pivotal.
It means something.
Jazz, it means something. But I see you. You're in the industry,
mm-hmm.
right? You're doing your thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's perceptions. There's roller coasters.
Mm-hmm.
There's this. There's that. There's also another side to it that a lot of people will probably judge you based off,
mm-hmm.
probably in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's centered around finances. People may mm-hmm. look at you and say, well, damn, you made it. You mm-hmm. doing your thing. Mm-hmm. You big balling out mm-hmm. here. And I tell you what, there's a lot of people chasing success because of that feeling or that perception mm-hmm. of what success is. And I'm one to believe that that's completely false.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one to believe that success is centered around your fulfillment
mm-hmm.
and your health,
mm-hmm.
right? That's for me.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about what that process has looked like before the big checks and
mm-hmm.
before the big jobs
mm-hmm.
start coming in,
mm-hmm.
because there's people that listen to this podcast that are looking for inspiration, that are in a season right now in their life to where the money ain't coming.
I'm about to give it to you.
It's holiday season right now and they can't buy gifts for their kids.
Yeah, yeah.
It's holiday season right now
yeah.
and they behind on their rent.
Yeah.
But they're doing what they love. They're doing what they feel called to
mm-hmm.
do,
mm-hmm.
but they're not necessarily seeing the finances from it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to those people out there about what are some keys, what are some tools that have helped you along your journey
mm-hmm.
and just kind of like staying patient and most importantly, mm-hmm. having faith. In your journey. Talk
That's
to me about
what great you. Question.
You like that? You like how I set that up? That's a live, right. So you got to duck that motherfucker.
It's a great question.
You know what I'm saying?
Great point.
Yep.
Listen here.
There we go.
Okay. So, okay. I'm not rich.
Yeah.
Okay? Brown rich is an internal thing.
Man, brown rich. It's eternal thing, y'all.
It's
y'all
an
tripping out there.
Thing. It's
huh? Come on, man.
No, but so there's sides to this.
Yeah.
One side is be smart with your money.
Yeah.
right? Like, this is even before I get into the fact of it. Once you start getting money, you have to be smart with your money. Just because you get one check for $4,000, does not mean you go and buy you a $2,000 Louis bag. Okay?
Say that again. I ain't hear you.
Just because y'all get a check for $4,000.
They want to go buy a $2,500 bag.
Come on. Stupid. It's not smart. It's not smart at all. Because the thing is, we don't know when the next check is coming.
Yeah.
Right? We can believe that it's coming. We can believe that, but we don't know when it's coming.
Gotcha.
So you have to be smart with that. But yeah. My journey in particular, I like to tell this story. Yeah. Before, and this was recent. Before Sherman Showcase, I had just got off tour with Snoop.
Yep.
And with some tours, like, well, with that one in particular, there's really no, like, not to even put anything out there, but there's no per diem. There gotcha. Was no per diem I on see. That job. And so when you're getting paid, you know, you're kind of living off of, boom.
For those of y'all that don't know what a per diem is, yes. You know what I'm saying? A company, the organization, the business, mm-hmm. they provide you money by day to make sure you got your tangible mm-hmm. shit, your mm-hmm. food, your this, your that to get by per day.
Boom. And it goes on top of your check. So on if you're getting paid that's like $500 right. and your per diem could be like $25, it could be $30, you know, yeah. a day. It's supposed to be like a day.
Yeah.
So, you know, so we're living off our money or whatever. So I came off like in a not that comfortable spot. And that can happen on tours simply because not because I'm out shopping or anything, but because if my car note is like $465 and you're paying me $500 for whatever, like a show or whatever the case is, then that's that.
That's it.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I mean, I got some stuff in my account, but still, yeah, yeah, it's yeah. just like, you know, yeah. we have to live.
That's right.
So coming off of it, I wasn't in the greatest predicament. I think I came off of that tour like, maybe like November, December, and we started shooting Sherman Showcase like at the end of January. So I went into overdraft for the first time since high school.
Come on.
High school.
Come on.
I'm 25, and I was 25 when I shot this. And I went into overdraft because my insurance came out or yep. something like that. And I was like, oh, shit. All right. You know,
gotcha.
All right.
We'll gotcha, 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 gotcha.
Mind you, it was the day that Sherman Showcase started. It was the day of the rehearsal mm-hmm. and everything. So I drive. And this story is also intertwined with purpose, right? So I drive to Sherman Showcase to our first rehearsal, whatever. I meet one of the first people I met on set was Larry the Clown.
Come on.
Y'all know Larry. Larry is like one of the most way out here. Like. And a lot of different things. Look him up.
Come on now.
So I meet Larry. Larry's like, y'all live in Watts. Can I ride with you like every day or whatever? So I'm like, oh, I live in Compton. Like,
no problem.
I'm like, cool. Yeah, yeah. I go, oh, we're no time. We're cool, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He like, sis, I'll put gas in your car.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, great. I don't have the money to do
yeah.
it. So
thank you, God. Yeah.
Like, wow, dope. Right? We're on set from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. every night.
Jesus.
That's probably. Breakfast, lunch, dinner.
Yeah.
Food taken care of. So then I'm thinking, well, most jobs, you know, you get paid like, you know, after a month or whatever the case is. It was like, well, no, it's weekly.
Nice.
Boom.
Okay.
Set up, right?
Cool.
But the thing is, before that, I had nothing in my account.
Negative.
Like, absolutely, and I was negative.
Yeah.
And in this industry, you can legitimately go from having $4,000 to $5,000 in your account, head up to 10.
Yeah.
G's in my account.
Yeah.
And then you don't get anything that big for a whole year. And then you're back at $600.
Got you.
And then your card note's $458.
That's why you said be smart with that money.
Be smart with that money.
Yeah.
Simply because of the fact that you don't know when it's coming. Now, when you're in like other industries, like acting and stuff, and where your initial check is like $10,000,
yeah.
still be smart, but yeah. it's a different industry.
Right. Right.
As a dancer, speaking to dancers, and as like most times like a rapper and right. shit like that, like you gotta be smart about it. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? Like, in taxes, I ain't gonna say what job it was, but I had a job where the pay was like $3,500, and I got that check. It was literally $500 taxes.
Wow.
Take it out of here. It was two separate checks. One was $2,500. One was $3,300. The one of them was $900. Yeah. And one of them was $5.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean?
That's
like so, overcoming the financial part. I know that it will come. And if I'm being honest, we're in at a good place now, right? We're
yeah.
working and we're
right.
like able to save. And I had checks
right.
come from here and
right.
here.
Right.
Before
right.
I left on tour, I did a couple jobs that, you
gotcha.
Know, held me down.
Gotcha.
Like,
gotcha.
It's cool.
Yep.
But there are times when it's not cool and nobody
yeah.
is trying to front. And don't let people front on you and pretend like everything is solid
yeah.
because it's not.
Yeah.
And I'm not out here trying to live like I'm rich or whatever the case is. I don't buy designer things like, you know, that, and that's just me. Like, I'm not really like into it. Like, I mean,
yeah.
if it's there, then it's there. Like, there's
yeah.
things that I like, but I'm just really not into it. I'm a simple person.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of like, in that sense, that's what works for me.
Yeah.
But I think finding finding what works for you and your life altogether, and not being so caught up in money, because money changes people. Money changes people's mindset. Money changes people's dreams.
You know what
money
they say? Money changes people everything. You know what they say? They say money doesn't change you. It makes you more of what you were already on. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people who are assholes, a lot of people who are egotistical, a lot of people who are this, well, you was already that.
You was already that.
Money has now shined a bigger light on who you already was.
Exactly.
So that's real.
Exactly.
That's real, right?
And nobody can necessarily, like, you know, live off of just,
right,
you know, trying to do like the basic things or whatever the case is. Like, you just have to be smart.
Right.
You have to be smart, and you have to know, like, that nobody's out here living a perfect life.
That's
like,
right.
That's just what it is.
That's
you know what
right.
I mean? Like, nobody's out here living a perfect life.
That's
you know,
right.
It doesn't mean that we're poor and you know, living, drinking out of a cup of water or whatever.
Right,
but
right,
it's
right,
just like,
right, right.
You know, you want to be smart about it.
Yeah.
You want to be smart about it for
yeah.
sure.
I love it. I love it. I love it. And I think that there's a certain mindset that's needed. I had a woman that hit me up today. Obviously, I ain't saying no names, but she hit me up in my DM. And I'm going to toss the question to you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to hit you with the question she asked me to answer for her. And I get a lot of DMs from a lot of people always hitting me up for advice. No
mm-hmm.
problem. Shoot it to them.
Mm-hmm.
But your bang man King Q going to have to start charging for these consultations.
Period.
Y'all going to have to understand this knowledge ain't free. So what I'm saying is this. I got Jazz in the building. Listen, she hit me up and she says, look, it's Christmas month. I'm 2 months behind on my rent. I'm stressed out. I can't find a good job, but I'm doing what I love and I'm discouraged. I want to quit. I want to go back to the comfort of having a 9-to-5 and doing what I was doing just for the money.
Jeez.
And I've been there. You've been following my journey for years. You've been there.
Yeah, I'm there.
And having to experience, and I tell people all the time, I'm extremely transparent because I know there's other people at this space where I'm currently at.
Mm-hmm.
And so it actually annoys me,
mm-hmm.
quite honestly, when people think that I got it like that because of platforms.
Same.
Are y'all serious?
Same.
Do y'all understand like what goes behind this? Do y'all understand like the sacrifices that go behind
mm-hmm.
this? Do y'all understand what it feels like to do what you love, to do what you feel called to do, most importantly?
Right.
Because I do work I feel called to do.
Mm-hmm.
When
mm-hmm.
you feel called to do something and you trust
mm-hmm.
that voice
mm-hmm.
and you actually go through it,
mm-hmm.
that bread ain't coming in initially,
mm-hmm.
big dog.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still in the season of like, God, where the bread at?
Yeah.
Because I've been putting 4 years in of sacrifice
mm-hmm.
and really listening to that voice.
Mm-hmm.
But where the bread at?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I still struggling with my rent if
mm-hmm.
I'm servicing people?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I still struggling with X, Y, and Z? And I tell you right now, I give people a lot of advice centered around my own personal experience,
mm-hmm.
and that's all I can do.
That's all you can do.
And that's why I love this platform,
yeah.
because I allow other people to do the same.
Mm-hmm.
All I could do is give you what works for me, big
mm-hmm.
dog. So when she sent me that, I showed it to my girl and I said, look, it's hard for me to even give advice to a person like this because my mindset is different.
Mm-hmm.
I don't stress over nothing, especially money.
I don't stress over money. Yeah.
Because you're telling me what you don't have
yeah.
and what you can't get. And I'm telling you I got it, even if I got it tangibly or
yeah.
not.
Yeah,
now
yeah.
we're talking about the power of manifestation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For me, I don't stress over it, but I'm willing to get uncomfortable in order to receive abundantly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to
mm-hmm.
say that again. I don't stress over money. But I am willing to do what a lot of people are not willing to do, which
mm-hmm.
is experience discomfort
mm-hmm.
in order to be available to receive.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ask you this. She says, I'm going through all this stuff, but I feel discouraged, right? I want to quit. I want to.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to a person like that and experiencing it? You know
mm-hmm.
how she feels.
Mm-hmm.
I know how she feels.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other people that are going to listen to this podcast that's really like right now, ears open, eyes open, waiting to hear this answer. And it's like, I can only give them so much. So what would you
mm-hmm.
say to the people that's struggling to stay consistent with their dreams because
mm-hmm.
the money's not coming
mm-hmm.
in, simply because of that?
Ooh, well, that is a hard question.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm not living in your shoes, and I don't know everything that you're feeling, everything that you may be feeling, everything that you may not be feeling.
Yeah.
But just like you said, like, we've gone through it. Like,
yeah.
I've gone through it. Like, I was a preschool teacher. That was like a nice little check coming in, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
All the time. And I felt like even when I thought I was comfortable and I was able to do both, God pushed me out of it because it wasn't my calling.
Mm.
So I feel like no matter if you are struggling with it mentally, I guarantee you, if you go back and you try to do a 9-to-5 to make money, you're going to end up in the same position, or you're going to end up in the same position simply because God is going to push you out and make you do what you need to be doing. Or if you do, if you're able to skip around that also, you're going to end up unhappy. Yeah. And ultimately, you think you're unhappy now doing what you love. Try being unhappy and doing what you don't even want to do. You know what I mean? Like try that. You know what I mean? And try your options. You know what I mean? Try your options out here in the world. Like if you feel the need to go back, because I also don't push being, if you have the option of getting yourself out of a situation, don't ignore it, but do a 9-to-5 that's going to allow you to do what you love also.
There we go.
Don't just go into a 9-to-5 and be like, okay, cool, I'm gonna make do
work. I'm just here for the bread.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And don't work at 9-to-5 that's gonna have you there from 8 a.m. to 12 in the morning.
There we go.
Don't do that to yourself. You have to be strategic and you have to be smart about what you're gonna do. That's the life that we have chosen, and that's the life that we're going to have to live as artists and as anybody doing what we wanna do and what we strive to do. The money is never just going to come right then and there. For the people who it does, congrats to you, my nigga.
Yeah.
But we ain't all living that like part, that. You know that what part, I mean? That like that shit takes a while. Like, and so, but you have to stay faithful to yourself.
Yeah.
And like I was talking to Q a little bit earlier listening to like Alan Watts, right? Like the need for permanence is our biggest demise as human beings.
Yeah.
Putting your happiness into something or attaching your happiness with something is going to be your demise. You have to find happiness being alone and being 2 months behind rent and being like all these things. You have to find happiness in that so that when you get something, your happiness does not jump from there to that. Your happiness is still here. And then these things can add. But if they go away, because nothing is permanent. So if they leave, and if you lose your job, if you are 2 months behind rent, you'll still have happiness. Happiness will carry you much further than just having $1 million in your account. Imagine having $1 million and being unhappy. Imagine having $1 million and committing suicide because you're that unhappy.
That's what I say.
Now what you gonna do with it?
Imagine having $1 million and you unhealthy.
And you unhealthy.
You in the hospital, in and out, every week.
What's the point? You got the best care. Good for you. But guess what? It don't matter.
Yeah.
So detach from those things. And I know this is a very much, you know, easier said than done type of situation.
Yeah.
I have been through it. Q has been through it. Like a lot of artists have been through this shit. Like, and we still go through it. Like I have moments where, like I said, I got $10,000. I got $5,000 in my account. Now I got $800 in my account. Now I got $4,000. Now I got $3,000.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and it is what it is, but I don't attach, not to say, you know, this is what the young lady is doing or whatever, but I don't attach my happiness with things.
There we go.
And I think that is a lot of the issue with a lot of people in this industry, to be honest. And that is a lot of the reason why you can't think beyond how much money you have in your account or how much money is coming in. You can't think beyond it because that's where your happiness is lying. It cannot do that. You have to separate that.
Yeah.
And you have to have your happiness in here.
Yeah.
You got to, like you said, you got to be healthy. You got to be happy. You really have to be happy.
Yeah.
It will change everything.
Yeah.
I walk onto these sets and energy is everything. I get called from people who I never even made contact with on set because they saw me smiling from a mile away. I walked on Sherman Showcase not looking like what I was going through. My account was negative. I did not know. I thought my first check for Sherman Showcase was going to come in months.
Yeah.
I had no clue. I was like, okay, shit. We overdrive. Yeah, you know, this is great. I booked this. I booked the TV show. I'm sorry, the camera. My bad.
But
you know, like I booked the TV show. Yeah, like this is dope as fuck.
Yep.
And then things just come.
I feel like people always have, even when you're going through all those bad things, and I love the fact that you just said that, because even though we can put this whole list of bad shit that we're going through, I think the power of manifestation lies in gratitude. And you have to be grounded in your gratitude for what you do have.
Mm-hmm.
I know what you don't have. I know what you. I know you're struggling.
And
I know
we
you
all got, through
we're going
it.
Through something. But I promise to God, my happiness is dependent on my ability to be grounded in my gratitude every day.
Mm-hmm.
I am choosing to look at the things that I do have, even when I don't have my rent, even when I don't have gas for my car. Even I'm gonna look at 15 things that I do have. Instead of just looking at one and allowing my whole day to be fucked up off of one thing that I don't have. And I think another thing is very important. I posted about it today, Jazz, aka Brown Rich. You gotta understand she's in the building. You know, talking about that. That mean the bomb is about to be dropped up in this motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Fuck it, BJ, we're gonna drop a bomb right here. Boom! We're gonna drop a bomb right here. Boom! You know that's
the bomb. Okay, just Brown Rich.
We had to do that. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna make sure that ad is in there, right where it needs to be. But I posted about this today, and this will probably be the last thing I'm gonna talk about because it's very important. And we gotta drive it home. I posted today, Jazz, and I said, your 2020 is gonna look exactly like your 2019 unless you were willing to adjust your fucked up habits.
Yep.
People don't wanna address their bad habits, but they want a different outcome for their reality. So people want their lives to change, but they don't want to change nothing. So you can't expect your life to change if you have habits that you've been doing for the past 10 years that have you in a certain position and in a state, whether that's financially, whether that's relationship wise, whether that's here, whether that's there, whether that's if you're not willing to make needed and necessary adjustments in obtaining discipline with yourself, then there's no way God is about to allow you to be put in a position to manage people. Ooh. And a lot of people want to be influencers with their craft and service other people, but you can't even service yourself enough to be able to feel like you have the happiness without tangible things. And a lot of people are attaching their happiness, like you said, to having things because they're not happy with who they are at home. So talk to the people. We're going to drive it home right here. I say, you're not going to have a different 2020. Your 2020 is going to look just like your 2019 unless you're willing to change some habits. Talk to me about what some habits are for you that you found yourself having to adjust. And because you have a certain work ethic. There's no way you could be up at a damn rehearsal from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. without having the mindset of like, I'm a work for mom. And it's a lot of people that don't want to do the work, but they want the reward. So talk to the people that want the reward, that don't want the work. Talk about the importance of work ethic. And also talk about the importance of, how did I word it? What was I talking about?
So basically, work ethic and then just habits.
That's right. Habits. So, work ethic and habits.
Okay, so work ethic wise, super quick. I feel like in the industry, I was telling Q earlier that I didn't come into the industry like, oh, like I want to be a professional dancer. Like it just happened. So at some point, I had to switch my mindset from going with the flow of just being like, you know, whatever happens, happens. Even though I still do feel that way, I'm not trying to force anything. But I had to go from that to putting an actual work ethic in. I had to go like switch into being like, all right, cool. Like I'm going to purposely switch my Instagram so that I only do professional pictures. So that if a casting director comes on my page, they're not seeing selfies. Yeah. They're not seeing memes. They're not seeing that type of stuff. They're seeing me.
Yeah.
What they need to see to book me. You know what I mean? I want you to look at the first page and be like, boom, this is Jocelyn. This is what she do. Boom, I'm trying to book her. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that was, I attach work ethic with purpose. You know what I mean? Like once you, when you find your purpose and like what you want to do, then your work ethic will follow because you have to have a work ethic in order to push your purpose.
There we go.
So yes, we do. We work hard. And sometimes it's really, really hard. Like, it's hard to be somewhere for that long. It's hard to be in the rehearsal and focus and learning, you know, 7 dances in one day. That's hard.
Yeah.
And your mind is going in these different places. But work ethic, wanting to, having that own, your own vision to be like, I'm not about to look crazy on stage.
Right.
That's on you. That's your work ethic.
Right, right.
Like, I'm not about to do this. If this artist is putting in all this work, I'm not trying to be the one to look crazy behind you. You didn't put in all this work as an artist. Like, I'm not trying to look crazy behind you.
Facts.
I'm not trying to get on screen and, like, you know, forget my lines.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to do that.
That's real.
You know what I mean? Like, put the work in. Like, it's work. Like, nothing comes easy. Like, even down to the nitty gritty of, like, when you're in a rehearsal, marking things. You shouldn't be marking anything. You should be, if you're gonna run the dance, then you need to at least run it to where your limbs are doing things full out so that when you get on stage, you will not forget your dance.
Gotcha.
That is putting work ethic in. You don't get to just go through stuff like N1 and 2 and 3. No, you're not gonna remember anything.
Yeah.
They're gonna fuck up. Like,
yeah.
It has to be a certain work ethic that goes behind it. And like I said, it's all purpose driven.
Gotcha.
And then as far as habits, personal habits push my talent, like my professional habits, right?
Gotcha.
So once I kind of came into a realization of like, calming down about certain things and like, you know, always freaking out about things, even on an internal standpoint, like, I don't like the way she looked at me. I don't like the way this, I don't like the way they said this to me. Like learning how to kind of like come to a zen and like get through things like, and not getting over things.
Yes, ma'am.
Or, you know, pushing past things, getting past it, working on getting through it. That way when it's calming me down internally so that I'm able to handle things like in an external way, but it's coming from an internal aspect and, you know what I mean? From an internal place. Mm-hmm. And so, just things like that are just like, that and then continuing to make sure that I'm doing things, for purpose. That's like, just because I know that I mentally does not mean that that's something I just get to forget.
I love it.
You know what I mean? It has to stay in my frontal lobe
right here
so that I'm able to continue to push things and make sure that I know my purpose. I feel like I don't know what I'm doing, then I have to figure that out. That is something that I already knew, but I have to keep it there and keep it in the front of my mind so that I don't forget it and don't get comfortable.
Right.
Comfortability is something that I never want to be a part of.
Yeah.
I want to be comfortable in places, but I don't want to have comfortability my life centered around comfortability. Yeah, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
Because that's going to keep you. If there's this is a wall, you're going to be here. We out of here. You know what I mean? Like there is no ceiling.
That's real.
And if you never get comfortable, there will never be a ceiling for you.
Yeah.
You have to stay uncomfortable because then that's when you know inside of you that there's more for you.
And it's bringing the best out of you. Discomfort brings the absolute best out of you.
So and you got to keep people in your circle. Like, you know, be honest, keep people in your circle who are going to really have your back. That is important.
Yeah.
Understanding the true ideal of having like good friends.
Yeah.
And if you're dating, having someone that's positive in your life, having someone that actually gets to know you, actually someone who wants to actually like love these things about you, but you got to be able to do that shit for yourself first.
That's right.
You know what I mean? And not getting comfortable and attached to permanence once again and thinking that people are going to constantly be there and holding you. You got to be able to do it for yourself and just know that you have people there. I forgot this girl's name that I just watched her TED Talk, but she had like five people who you should have in your life, and it was like a friend, a peer, a cheerleader, a mentor, and the last one.
A chiropractor.
Hey, yo, I'm gonna send it to you and put her name in there. But
that's
when
real
she
though.
Said, yeah, like when that's she real. Said it at first and shit, I was like, okay. And then when she started to kind of like explain it, right? Yeah. And I was just like, damn, like that's real. Like you really need all these different type of people in your life to make sure that you're at least keeping a bird's eye view of things, you know? So,
I love
just, you know, pushing the good habits, pushing the internal happiness.
I love
you
it.
Know?
Personally, I could hear Jazz talk all goddamn day.
Oh, sure.
You know, but we got to go. And I say this right now. The running theme of this podcast has been centered around purpose. And I love that. Everything that you say, you always come back to purpose. And for me, I always talk about people about having the importance of knowing your purpose. Nipsey Hussle said, find your purpose or you wasting air. Fuck it though, y'all niggas scared. You have to be able to find what you were sent down to this earth to do. What were you sent here to do? And a lot of us get into things we're passionate about, which we didn't get a chance to really touch on the way we wanted to. Things we're passionate about or things that we're good at that we get caught up into that we are not necessarily, it's not necessarily attached to our purpose, right? So dreams and purpose are two different things. So we got to have you back. We got to have you back because we
part
have
two.
So much more. We got to have part two of this because it's so pivotal. And I told you when I say pivotal, that means it's pivotal.
It means something.
You know what I'm saying? But what I like to do, what we like to do here, Be Visuals, you got to understand. I got to shout out my main man, Be Visuals, all the time. You know, I'll Be Visuals. It ain't possible. And then my queen, Simone, you know, she also part of the team. You all know it's got to be. I do. KQ, we're going to go. And then my sister, Carquise, in the back. You know, we got to shout out Carquise. That's big sis. You know what I'm saying? You got to understand it. So look, every episode, we like to end off with allowing our guests to look at this camera right here, which you've been doing for the whole episode, which I actually like, might I add. Because, you know, you're talking straight to the people. I get that.
Period.
I get that. And show them the waves one more time because, you know, she want to show out. She want to show out a little bit.
Oh, these
things. Yeah, I said, oh, those things?
I'm not going to blow it.
You know what I'm saying? Go on, Jazz, a.k.a. Brown Rich. You got to understand it. Look at that camera right there. You're going to end them off with what we like to call here an unselfish message, which is your ending message that overall you want that audience to remember either from this interview or things that you've talked about or what you even stand for. What is your overall quick 30-second message to the people in that camera right there?
This is deep.
Ain't that something?
Damn.
You got to stay ready so you ain't got to get ready. Ooh. You know what I'm saying? We here in the trenches.
Ooh, okay. My unselfish, can I talk? My unselfish message. I feel like it's to just make sure that you find happiness in you and not in things, and don't attach it to things, because that will be your ultimate demise in life. Find your happiness and live in it and be okay with it and be okay with like doing what the fuck you want to do and making sure that it makes you happy. You know what I mean? Don't get too comfortable. Now I'm just listening to stuff. Don't be too comfortable. Know that there's always room to grow. Be open to learn. Be open to love. Like for real, for real. And just like continue to just be great. Like it doesn't matter. Just be great. Be great. Be great. You are great. You're already great. You just got to believe it. For real.
That's Jazz, a.k.a. Brown Rich. I got to say, B-Visuals, this episode right here, I got to say, just from an energy perspective, because they know I'm big on energy, Jazz. From an energy perspective, this is probably the funnest episode that I've had. You know what I'm saying? I just found myself in this high, like, you know what I'm saying? Just, and I don't know if it's the energy. I don't know if it's the smile. I don't know if it's the vibe. But there's something about you, Jazz, that just brings the excitement out your boy. And I appreciate you. You are extremely inspiring. You drop so many jewels and so many gems. We want to send you off with love and let you know to keep doing what you're doing. Keep following your intuition, following your heart. If one thing is not for you and your intuition is saying it's time to switch, listen to that. Keep going. Keep going. You're inspiring a lot of people out here. And guess what? We always watching. Yeah. All right. So look, man, Unselfish Behavior Podcast. That is a wrap for this episode, ladies and gentlemen. Until next time, we're going to see you when we motherfucking see you. We out. Yo, what's going on? It's your main man, King Q. If you liked that episode, be sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel, like, and leave a comment. And also, if you want to follow the movement, be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Unselfish Behavior Podcast. And as you know, we out.